or you can't take the chance. Uh-uh. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. Uh-uh.
I know how sand is formed. It is the rubbing of bodies against rock. The incoming waves are only there to clean your skin cells away. You may not want to touch the shiny part of sand. It could be a potential ancestor who got recreationed out of procreation. I was talking with a boy whose name I can't remember online.
You use awfully big words, he said. Weird concepts.
I said, my libido is unscrupulous. He asked,
should I bring Trojans?
I said, only if you want to let the Greeks invade.
He said, so I'll see you in an hour?
I drove myself out of my mind and onto the road. I was still fairly new to the whole hookup thing. The days of me saying, sure, let's fuck, weren't far off, but there was just enough hill on my horizon that I couldn't make them out yet. I still believed that what I was looking for was love. That somehow this stranger would be the answer to my every agnostic prayer. I drove by him twice. It was 2 a.m. It was dark outside. He was wearing a black hoodie. I was about to turn around and go home when I saw his hand wave. He kissed me when he got in the car, as though we were lovers who hadn't seen each other in a few days. Where's your car? I asked, because I am the king of social grace.
I didn't want to risk my aunt hearing me pull out, so I biked here.
You live with your aunt?
No, I'm just here on vacation for a couple weeks, a little downtown between exams and summer work.
Oh, where are you from? Where he was from was such an important detail that I stored it next to his name. I must have blocked the synapse necessary for its retrieval with something slightly more important to me, like what I had for breakfast on my 5th birthday. Pancakes. We talked for hours. All I remember is that we spent a great deal of time talking about the Black Cauldron and how Disney never gave it its due. We talked about everything but what we were there to do. Eventually, I couldn't help but kiss him. I straddled his body because the sand was making my ass itch. He kissed like a closeted college student who met up with another closeted college student over the internet. No one would make a romance movie about our lovemaking. The tide didn't come in over our bodies. The breeze didn't blow either of our hair in a sultry manner. I sucked his cock because it seemed like the right thing to do. I swallowed because I hadn't yet. He'd been eating a lot of fruit. His lips were chapped. I was almost there when the sound of someone approached. He looked up, startled. I climaxed on his chin. This startled him more. No one was approaching except daylight. I gave him my number. He said he'd call me the next day. Of course, I never heard from him again. As I pulled away from the beach, my headlights caught his back as he leaned over into the sea to wash his face. I'd like to think my sperm grew into jellyfish. Jordan was 23, sunburnt, and had the sort of hairstyle that can only come from sitting on the top deck of a boat on a very windy day, which made sense. He'd just taken a ferry over from the small island not too far from where I lived. He was a writer. I was to discover later that he was a very awful writer. But I was a 21-year-old wannabe writer with an erection, a drawer full of condoms, and a refrigerator full of beer, and he was an attractive writer. Jordan's sunburn was a Speedo sunburn. Only his cock and crack were left unlobstered. This, he said, was the reason he had to take a few Vicodin before we fucked. It's also the reason we had to stop at CVS and buy him some solar cane on the way back to my apartment.
Oh yeah, he said as I sprayed the solar cane on his back. This feels awesome.
If he was this easy to please, I had the feeling we were going to be in for a full night of ow, 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 ow.
My back is... Ow! Careful!
Or not. After 3 beers and 2 shots of tequila, plus 3 Vicodin for him, I decided to make my move.
Easy, he said. I still kind of... Oh, yeah.
I gently, very gently, put my hand on his face and began kissing him. His lips were cracked. It wasn't too noticeable when I closed my eyes and kissed him, but when he started kissing down my body, I got a sensation I imagined not dissimilar to having my stomach licked by a cat. While his tongue seemed pretty adept at giving head, his lips caused the little man in charge of my brain synapses to push the buttons marked, "Chafing! Chafing! Avert blowjob!" I pulled out of his mouth and pulled him up on the bed where I began to...
Do you want a 69?
He asked. No, I thought. But what I said was, okay. I had a plan. I would let him think I was into 69ing for about 5 seconds, and then I would knead and or spank his burnt ass. Surely, this would cause him to,
"Oh yeah," he yelled after the first spank. "This feels awesome."
What kind of writer says this feels awesome to every physical sensation they feel? Oh, right. One who's been popping Vicodin all day. My spanking was not going to produce the intended result.
"You ever, fucked a guy?"
he asked. "No," I said, which would have been true had he asked,
"Have you ever fucked a guy today?"
I was taking artistic license.
"Want to?"
I smiled the way I imagined virgins smiled. "Yeah."
"Awesome."
And he laid his head down on the pillow and stuck his ass in the air, a position I've since learned isn't exceptionally comfortable even when you're not 90% sunburnt. I strapped on a condom and...
"Ow, ow, ow, yes, ow, yeah, ow, awesome, yeah, ow."
His little ow symphony started to grate on me.
"Ow, yeah, this feels, ow, awesome, ow."
So I started pulling his lower body toward mine, like I was giving his inner thighs the Heimlich.
"Ow, yes, ow, ow, stop!"
I stopped.
"Ow, ow, ah." "Thanks."
The hell? I'd stopped, thinking he was in pain from the way I was gripping his thighs. He rolled over, revealing several unmistakably sticky spots on the blue sheets.
That felt awesome. I'm gonna, like, pass out, though. Those Vikes are... Yeah, I'm tired. You can keep fucking me until you're done or whatever, but I'm... Yeah, don't worry about it. It feels awesome."
While I admired his desire to make sure I got to come, I was a little leery of fucking someone I now regarded as a comatose drug addict, even though I clearly had his consent. "How about I wait until you wake up?"
"Yeah," he said. "Awesome."
I pulled a sheet over him, propped a fan in his general direction, and went downstairs to get another drink. He was still out cold when I was ready to fall asleep. I debated whether or not to crawl into bed with him. On the one hand, he was cute. On the other, he was liable to say,
"Ow, awesome, ow,"
every time I touched him. On a mythical third hand, I didn't know him very well and didn't want to discover that he was a kleptomaniac drug addict after he left my house. So I climbed into bed next to him.
"Mmm,"
he said. If this was followed by an awesome, I was going to punch him very hard in the middle of his now peeling back.
"Change your mind?"
"Huh?"
"You gonna fuck Sleeping Beauty?"
"Ew, dude." "Only after he wakes up."
"I'm away." "Ow," he said, rolling over to face me. Do you know where I left my Vicodin?"
On the nightstand to his left. No.
"Oh, then maybe we'd better..." "Oh, I feel kinda..."
He was getting puke-faced. "Code red, code red!"
Where's your bathroom?"
I pointed. Then decided to take action and have him lean on me as I half-dragged him into the bathroom. He didn't make it to the toilet. Close, though. While I toweled up the puke, comatose no longer beauty went back to the spare bedroom, popped a few pills, and put on his clothes.
I'm sorry about the puke, but I think I better go. I don't want to miss the last ferry. I got work tomorrow and stuff.
No problem, I said. He ambled over and leaned in to kiss me.
Dude, you just threw up on my floor. Right. Sorry. I'll email you tomorrow when I get out of work. Tonight was awesome. Until the whole puking thing again. Sorry.
No problem. Called him a cab while he washed off his face in the bathroom and puked again. Thankfully, the cab arrived almost instantly.
Talk at you, tomorrow then?
Sure, I said. That would be, awesome. There really wasn't that much special about Eric. He was a heavyset business guy, roughly my age, who was visiting Cape Cod for a week. His hotel was roughly a half an hour drive from where I lived in Cranberry Lake. The first night that I encountered him in an AOL chat room, I passed him over in favor of Always on eBoy. That proved to be a worthless evening, so the next night, I decided not to be so choosy. I gave Eric directions to a local bar where we met up for drinks. Eric was husky. Well, husky isn't my favorite body type. I'm certainly not Yoan Pollock enough to make fun of a person's appearance, so I'll just leave it at husky. After a few Captain and Cokes, we headed over to my house, took a few Mike's Hard Lemonades out of the fridge, and took off our clothes, a typical Wednesday night at the Unsafe Mode Estate. I'm not one to belittle another man's manhood. I'm no Long Don Silver, but this guy. When I found his cock, I wasn't sure what to do with it. Return it to the Smurf village lost and found? Impale it with a toothpick and offer it at cocktail parties? Keep it on ice in case I ever lost my pinky in a freak fingering accident? In the end, I decided to try and suck it for a while, but his rolls kept bopping my nose. He wasn't a behemoth, but he refused to lay back, which would have made access to his microphallus much easier. As it was, his stomach was pressing against my nose, and since his cock was in my mouth, I was out of breathing holes. So I stopped.
Baby, we better try something else?
I wondered if he meant being in two different states. His eyes were two lone bulbs on a vast light bright.
Do you want to fuck me?
Technically, the answer was no. I managed to skirt around the issue by announcing that I had no condoms, a shaved-face lie. He offered to pick some up, but my nose had been close enough to his ass to know that I didn't want to go in there, even with a layer of latex around my cock. That would be great, but the nearest 7-Eleven is a few miles away, and I'm awfully tired. Maybe we should try this another time. After an awkward goodbye kiss, he drove out of the condo parking lot for what I assumed was the last time. The next night, I was IMing with Always on eBoy, negotiating a less frustrating rendezvous, when I got an IM from a screen name I didn't recognize. eBoy couldn't make it out that night, and after the frustration with Eric, I was desperate for some orifice. So, after exchanging pictures, I gave the guy directions to my house. I'm always honest when I send out pictures. I've had my fair share of rejection when I've sent out my pic, but I've also had my fair share, and perhaps a few other people's shares, of acceptance. The guy in the picture was fairly average-looking, and I love average-looking guys, and not just because I may be one. The guy was going to drop by at 9. I showered, put some Gomez on, and sat down in my living room. At 9:15, the doorbell rang. Imagine my surprise when I opened the door and found Eric. Hi, Eric. What are you doing here?
Sorry I'm late, but I had a tough time finding this place.
I wondered if I'd somehow entered a Twilight Zone episode. Oh, did you leave something here?
Huh? No, I... Are you in safe mode?
What the... Yeah?
Didn't we agree to meet up tonight?
No, we talked about getting together at some point, but I have plans tonight. I'm actually supposed to be meeting someone very soon.
Oh, I thought you said tonight at 9.
He was staring at my rug. No. I felt really bad. I tried to figure out exactly how I'd misled him into thinking we were going to meet again tonight. I hadn't. I'd suggested that there may be some time in the future where our paths would cross again, but I'd certainly never said, how about tomorrow at 9? Eric started to walk away. I was about to close the door when he turned around.
I know I look a bit different than I did in the pic I sent, but I'm not ugly. You're treating me like I'm ugly.
You're the one who sent me the picture tonight? I asked.
Yeah, who'd you think I was?
You're Eric, I said. We met last night for drinks. You came over. We hung out a bit.
Really? We've met before?
I don't believe in amnesia. If I've ever had it, I've forgotten. I certainly don't believe that Eric forgot that he'd been over the previous night. I didn't know what game he was playing, but I wanted no part in it.
I'm sorry, he said as I made to close my door. I meet a lot of people on the road. Sometimes I forget who I have and haven't met.
Well, good luck with that, I said. Night. You couldn't have picked his face off the pavement with a spatula.
Night.
I went back online to chat or hook up. Business was slow, so I decided to get some reading done when I heard an instant message pop up.
Hey there.
Hello, Eric, I typed.
I'm sorry. Have we met?
During whore month, I averaged about 1.33 random hookups a day. That's 1 1/3 for those who never learned decimals. Most of the time, I couldn't even be bothered to learn a person's name, really. Who wants to risk the codependent personal attachment implied in calling the person you're fucking by name? But one name I remember vividly is Bobby Duda. I hadn't planned on learning it, but it was written very neatly on his mailbox. From the moment I read it, I couldn't get Camptown Races out of my head. I rang the doorbell and was relieved to discover he wasn't one of those weird assholes who sent out fake pics. He was just as nerdy hot as I'd hoped. Blonde, alfalfa hair, glasses, and a milk and cheese t-shirt. I wanted to take him right there on the doorstep. Instead, we headed up to his apartment and smoked apple-flavored tobacco out of his gigantic Shiva-shaped hookah. After about half an hour of smoking and John Madden football, our clothes were off, and I was admiring his shaved 7-inch cock. We were in the midst of one of the better kisses I've been involved in when... Who's got a Shiva-shaped bong? Duda, Duda. Who's got a 7-inch long? Suddenly, I was in the giggle loop. He probably grew up having people make fun of his name. I didn't want to be the umpteenth millionth guy who thought he was cute by making a doodah joke. Laughing at his name while we kissed would be extremely inappropriate. What? He asked. I knew if I spoke, I was going to start giggling, so I returned to kissing him. Soon, he was licking his way down my stomach, and... Who's as long as he is thick? Doo-da, doodah, who's about to suck my... He looked up at me quizzically.
What?
Nothing. I'm, ticklish.
Okay.
I couldn't concentrate. Not that one should have to concentrate in order to get a blowjob. Still, it's nice to be able to enjoy the sensation of hot nerd tongue without having to think, who's got plaid sheets on his bed? Doodah, doodah. Who's real good at giving head?
Wow, he said.
You must be really ticklish. Well, that's a sensitive area. He smiled at me.
I didn't know you were so...
Lewd smirk.
Sensitive.
Neither did I. Another 15 minutes passed, smoking, giggling, and moaning, flip-flopped as often as sexual positions, until he couldn't take it anymore. Who smokes apple-flavored hash? Doodah, doodah. Who's wearing a cum mustache? Oh, doodah's gay. Today's podcast, All My Exes Live in Sex Flicks, The Golden Age of Sodomy, Part 1, A Couple of Nights I Wish I Could Forget, is brought to you by Regret, the never-ending cycle of regret, as embodied by my cat, Selena, causing me to regret my pet choices since 2009. Today's intro music was by Drawman. It is a mashup of Ray Charles and Greaves called The Good Life Rocks. Incidental music includes Everything is Awesome by Tegan and Sarah and The Lonely Island, and Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. Right now, the outro music is being played by Reverend Phelps' favorite artist. That's right, it's Camptown Races by Liberace. For any questions about this podcast or anything else I've written, please feel free to check out www.crookedtreehouse.com or email me at insafemode@gmail.com. We now return you to the straightest version of Camptown Races ever, recorded by man.
Go away.